Get your official Adam Sank Show merchandise at adamsank.com. T-shirts, tank tops, mugs, masks, just about everything you can think of emblazoned with the Adam Sank Show logo. Go to adamsank.com to order your merch today. Thank you.
Warning. The program you're about to hear contains highly offensive and indecent material.
This is the Adam Sank Show.
If it's in my hand, I'm going to suck it.
Powered by DNR Studios. And now,
the one, the only, Adam Sank!
Bottom.
Hey, hookers. Welcome to the Adam Sank Show, and happy Labor Day weekend. We are coming at you live, if you're listening at 11 a.m. Eastern, on Saturday, September 5th. It's already September 5th. Holy fuck. 2020 at dnrstudios.com, which remains the only place to hear this podcast live and throughout the week that it first airs. Leave us your ratings and reviews on iTunes. We got a new review just this week. Thank you for that. Or wherever else you listen to this thing, email me at adam@adamsank.com. If you happen to be listening live, hi, Gail. Call in and talk to us at 844-825-5367. Like the Adam Sank Show Facebook page. Please download my two comedy albums. And most importantly, get your official ass merch, t-shirts, tank tops, even a dildo. Actually, that's not true, but I shouldn't make a dildo. I've had a lot of requests for jock straps, but it's not easy to find a site that does customized jock straps. Anyway, the link to buy your merch is adamsank.com. And no matter what else you do, answer the census and register to vote. Go to vote.org and 2020census.gov. Today on The Ask, we have a brand new, never-before-heard guest who is our first international guest. He will be phoning in from Sussex, England. His name is Finlay Games. He's a blogger, a vlogger, and a YouTube star who has been very open about his journey as a trans man, specifically about bottom surgery. I know as a cis guy, I have lots of questions about bottom surgery, and we've been taught not to ask those questions of trans people because it's none of our business and they don't like talking about it. But in Finlay's case, he loves talking about it. He talks about it a lot, so we're going to ask him. Ryan is still off this week, and wherever he is, I'm sure he is high as fuck. So now it is my great pleasure to welcome a returning favorite to The Ass, comedian and cat lover, Tarik Daniels joins us now. Hello, Tarik.
Hello, Adam. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
It's great to see you, and you look very handsome. Tarik dressed up in a cute little short sleeve button down shirt.
Thank you.
She's got a little charm necklace.
Yeah, I don't get to leave the house that often, so I got excited.
You gussied up.
I gussied up. I overdid it, and I'm happy with it.
It's hard to see through this coronavirus plastic. Is that what is that around your neck? Is it a heart?
No, it looks like a little disc. It's a ball. It looks like a disco ball, and I always get compliments on it, but I got it like 15 years ago from like Claire's or Afterthoughts.
Mm. Is it open?
It works for me.
Can you
store
cocaine in it? Or
no, I wish.
Mm.
If anyone wants to buy me something like a store cocaine with the cocaine in it, that'd be great.
Well, you look adorable. Also, please welcome our producer, the queen of fuckery, JB Bursey.
Hello,
JB. Welcome to you. JB and I are both in our ass merch today.
Yes, I'm in my uniform. This is my work uniform. I come to work every day in this shirt.
I love seeing you in that shirt.
I love seeing me in the shirt, too.
We were just talking about Labor Day plans. I am headed to Asbury Park. Asbury Park, actually, in central Jersey. It's sort of like the trashy Fire Island of New Jersey. So I'm just going for one day with some friends. Tarik just was telling us he's going to be at a socially distanced pool party.
Yeah. 2 days in a row. One in New Jersey, I don't know where, and another in Staten Island.
And JB, I hesitate to ask what you'll be doing.
Stay home by myself, with myself, play with myself. Okay.
This is a preview of JB's weekend.
Yeah, sounds right about to me.
All right, so what's everybody watching? What's everybody recommending as far as TV, Netflix, and so forth?
I've been binge-watching The Office, which isn't anything original. So when you just asked that, I was like, oh. But I realized I hadn't seen the last three seasons, and everything else I've been watching was really dark, and I just wanted to laugh. So I watched the last three seasons, and then I started over, so...
The rap on The Office is that it sort of started to fall apart in the last few seasons. It wasn't the show it had been.
Yeah, people say that. I was really pleasantly surprised how funny I found the last few seasons. And I think that's why I stopped watching, because I just thought, like everybody else, wasn't funny. There was a little bit of trouble in the ninth season, a few episodes that I was like, but in the ending, I thought the ending was great. I really enjoyed it.
It's a show I always watched casually. I never like watched every week, but it's definitely very smart.
Yeah.
Great ensemble. JB, anything you'd recommend?
Oh, I've been reliving my childhood, so I've been watching Static Shock and Jackie Chan Adventures. And while watching Static Shock, I realized the whole show wouldn't have happened if police never overreacted to a gang call. But
what is the show? I don't even know what you're saying.
Static Shock is about a black superhero in Dakota who got his powers because a gang war had happened and the cops overreacted by throwing experimental gas into the crowd and they gave them all superpowers.
Wow.
Or mutated them.
This originally aired when?
This aired in the 90s, early 2000s on Kids WB.
That's why we don't know it, because I didn't know it either.
But it sounds very prophetic.
It is. And then it talks about gun violence, too. Static Shock was an intro into the black community for children.
Is it a cartoon or a live action?
It is a cartoon, yes.
And where do you watch it now?
I watch it on DC Universe Online.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything that happened after 2000, I'm not so conversant with.
Yeah, I was.
I'm the oldest person.
And then that's
the
college years for me. So I'm not. There's a lot of stuff that I missed too because I was busy.
You were busy learning things.
Yeah.
I was going to recommend this RuPaul's Las Vegas show, but last night's episode I thought really sucked. I don't know. It's not really working for me. They're trying to create drama. Have either of you watched
it? I saw a clip of it, and the Britney Spears impersonator Derek Barry and Naomi Smalls were getting into it. And I just watched a little clip of it, and I was like, I don't know. I'm on the fence.
Like, I'd like to see more of the actual putting together the show. I don't need fake drama and arguments. I just like to see people putting together a show
because
I'm a theater queen. So that part's fun, but there's all this manufactured drama, and you can just see where the producer was like, okay, you go over to her, and you tell her that you heard this. And then there's like a big blow-up, and it's just – it's not real drama like you see on the better seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race. It's fake drama.
Fake drama. Are they trying to make it like a Real Housewives kind of thing?
Yeah. Drag queens? Yeah. And the fact is they mostly get along. They all know each other. They've all performed together for years. So it's like, do we really need this bullshit? But anyway – so yeah, I won't recommend that, but I will recommend, don't ask me how I found this, on Showtime On Demand right now, I think it's Showtime, maybe HBO, but one of those On Demand channels, there's a movie called Lovelace about Linda Lovelace, the star of Deep Throat, and it's, you know, based on real events, and Amanda Seyfried plays Linda Lovelace.
Oh, I've seen that.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, well, it's good.
She's in a dark curly wig and dark brown contact lenses, but she's really good. It's a fabulous cast. And it's a really kind of shocking story. I had heard that Linda Lovelace, you know, was in this horrible marriage and that her husband abused her and coerced her into making Deep Throat and she never wanted to do porn. But it's kind of worse when you actually see it dramatized. She really went through hell.
Yeah, she did.
And then died young. So it sounds like a fucking bummer, but it's actually kind of a great 70s period piece, and it's very stylish, and I enjoyed it. Okay, we have so many things to do today. I don't know why I've just been like wasting time for 8 minutes because we have tons of stories. We have to do a live commercial at the bottom of the hour, but first, this is exciting. It's our very first ass listener giveaway. Yes, play that music. This is our ass listener giveaway music. Okay, listen up. We're about to have, as I said, our first ever giveaway. We have 5 copies to give away of the hit movie The King of Staten Island on Blu-ray. The movie is from celebrated director Judd Apatow and SNL's Pete Davidson. This critically acclaimed heartfelt comedy is now available to own on digital Blu-ray and DVD, featuring over 2 hours of hilarious, never-before-seen bonus content, including alternate endings, deleted scenes, and a gag reel. You know I love a gag. Turn down the music just a hair. The film is inspired by Pete Davidson's own true life story. Rolling Stone calls it an emotional and comic knockout about love, loss, and laughter on Staten Island. King of Staten Island also stars Marissa Tomei, Bill Burr, Belle Powley, Maude Apatow, and Steve Buscemi. Come on. Here's how you can win one of these Blu-ray copies of The King of Staten Island. Listen carefully. Step 1. Post a review of The Adam Sank Show to Apple Podcasts or any other streaming audio platform. It can be a great review. It can be a shitty review. Just make it honest. Now, before people start freaking out, those of you who listen to this show on DNR Studios can also enter the contest. I'll tell you how in a second. Step two, email me a screenshot of your review at adam@adamsank.com. If you've already posted a review in the past, just email a screenshot of that review. If you're a DNR Studios subscriber, you can post a review to Apple Podcasts. You can still create an Apple Podcast identity. But if DNR Studios is the only place you listen to podcasts and you really don't want to post a review, then just send me a screenshot of your latest subscription receipt to dnrstudios.com. You'll still be eligible. Make sure you include your name, and this is very important, your mailing address, so that the Blu-ray can be shipped to you. The first five emails I receive will be the winners, provided that you follow the instructions properly. Again, the email address is adam@adamsank.com. Include your name, mailing address, and screenshot of your review of the ask or your latest DNR Studio subscription invoice. God help us. Let's see how this works. All right, so it's now, the show's now over.
Oh.
Goodbye. Okay, so this is upsetting to me. Right after we recorded the last show, which was 2 weeks ago, like the next day, the Jerry Falwell Jr. pool boy scandal erupted. I hate when we miss a story.
Okay. Bad timing.
Before we start, I have to put my tagline on it. This is fuckery. Just know I'm upset.
Of the nth degree.
Just know I'm upset. I'm jealous.
Because you want to have sex with the pool boy?
For the money, yes. Just for the, like, I want someone to pamper me. That's all. You guys, it's all been bitching about since I've been on the ass. Just take care of me.
Take care of JB. Our next listener giveaway is who wants to adopt JB? Anyway, so most of you already know by now that Jerry Falwell Jr., massive Trump supporter, former president of Liberty University, which is this like right-wing evangelical Christian university, massive university. So this story started like a year ago when it came to light that he had given a couple $1 million to this former pool boy from Florida. And there was a widespread speculation that either Mrs. Falwell or the couple, Jerry and Becky, had had sex with the pool boy, or that like Becky had had sex with him while Jerry watched, and that there might be photographs. And in any case, the news broke wide open on around August 23rd or 4th when Jerry Falwell Jr. sort of came forward and said, yes, Becky had an affair with the pool boy and I didn't know anything about it. And it was devastating to me. And the pool boy tried to extort us. And then the pool boy came forward and said, bullshit. He knew, Jerry knew about it from the beginning. He watched in the corner. He said it went on for years and that he was never trying to extort the Falwells. So after all that happened, a second pool boy surfaced. Gordon Bellow claims to have had a personal relationship with Becky Falwell and took the couple to court last year over his stake in this gay-friendly Miami hostel run by the first pool boy, whose name is Giancarlo Granda. And Granda and Bello are high school friends who were both working at the Fountain Blue Hotel where they met the Falwells while the couple vacationed in 2012. So there's no confirmation yet whether this second pool boy really exists. But what did come to light after that is a former Liberty University student says Becky Falwell jumped into bed with him and performed oral sex on him while he stayed over at the Falwell home after band practice with her eldest son in 2008.
Scandalous. It all happened at band camp.
I'm trying to look for the blowjob sound effect. I guess I don't have that on my board. Anyway, it sounds like Becky Falwell is kind of a freak. And Jerry likes to watch. Anyway, this is just like the height of hypocrisy. Falwell was forced out of his job at Liberty University by the board. He also received a $10 million severance package.
Wow. Yeah, that's some bullshit. Bullshit.
But here's what's happening now. Now, the same board that fired him and paid him $10 million is investigating. They've hired an independent forensic accountant to investigate all of Jerry Falwell's financial business dealings, his real estate dealings, all because he was up to all kinds of shit. And
And since, wait, and since they're religious, do they, does the Liberty, do they pay taxes? Is that covered under, like, church?
So the university itself doesn't have to pay taxes. I mean, I don't think any universities do. Falwell is not a preacher. He's just a businessman. So I do think he has to pay taxes. But still, I'll pay taxes on $10 million.
Yeah.
I'll still have $6.5 million or whatever.
I want to fuck the pool boy.
Everybody wants to fuck the pool boy.
I want to see all of them, too. Especially the student that was her friends with her eldest son. I don't think they named him because I was going to Google him. Do they name him?
No, he's named.
Oh, he is? Okay, I'll look for him up later.
Let's see. Oh, maybe not. No, because they just call him the former student.
Yeah, I was creeping.
But, I mean, I think Giancarlo Granda, like, he's okay. I think he was hotter when he was younger.
Yeah.
He's like 30 now.
He's turned.
He's got a big old dick, though.
Yeah.
You don't give someone $2 million to fuck your wife if he's got a small
Exactly.
Wife.
I mean, and like you said, like, it's the height of hypocrisy. That's what infuriates me. I hate hypocrisy so much. Otherwise, if they were just some regular couple that weren't, you know, Christian Trump supporters,
who cares?
I'd be like, go for it.
Yeah.
$2 million for sucking dick? Okay. Come on. Like, I could do that in my fucking sleep. I suck a whole bunch of dicks for $2 million.
Me too. I mean,
I'll do it for free.
I do it for free.
Yeah, like the fuck?
It's $2 million worthy from my reviews, but...
I don't even get, like, a cheeseburger at the end of it. I just get some salty nastiness in my mouth. Like, the fuck?
Yeah, we're not judging them for being kinky.
Not at all. I mean,
I love kinky people.
This is
about being complete hypocrites. First of all, in evangelical Christianity, adultery is, you know, that's punishable by death. That's, like, one of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, it's really bad.
The fact that, that he's encouraging his wife to commit adultery and watching, and then, by the way, throwing her under the bus and saying she had the affair on her own,
which is some bullshit. All that, like, my nigga, like, really?
And she's staying with him.
I could see her agreeing on that, though. I could see
her wants the money.
Yeah, she's like, honey, you know, and he let her have her fun.
They're just disgusting people. But why this story matters more than anything else is, if it weren't for Jerry Falwell Jr., Donald Trump may not have had the support of the evangelical community in 2016. Jerry Falwell Jr.'s endorsement was a major turning point. And by the way, Jerry Falwell Jr. was originally supporting Ted Cruz. He did not like Donald Trump.
No.
Then Michael Cohen, Trump's then attorney / fixer, flew to Florida, met with Jerry Falwell Jr., and suddenly Jerry Falwell Jr. changed his endorsement to Trump.
Because they had a gay escapade with each other?
No, because Cohen had pictures of the pool boy and Becky.
Oh.
My God.
And Jerry Falwell Jr., he never joined in, right? He just watched?
Apparently not. I mean, not according to Granda, but Granda might be lying too because he doesn't want people to think he's a homo. Or that he's bi.
He probably got his butt eaten by the man. The man was just in them cakes.
I don't think Jerry Falwell Jr. is gay. I think he's a classic cuck. I think he's a cuckold who loves... He's probably got a ugly little dick, and he just gets really turned on by the sight of, like, that big Cuban dick.
Yeah.
Becky.
I had to be educated on this because I asked this question. I don't know if you saw this post on Facebook, because I'm confused by the appeal of a straight man just watching and not joining in unless he had some kind of inadequacies. I didn't really know what cuck meant. And
I think it's the ultimate taboo. Ultimate taboo is for a white guy to hire a black guy to fuck his wife. That is the ultimate, like, there's so many cultural tropes that are being sort of highlighted there. It's racist as fuck because, you know, the black guy's just being treated as like a stud.
As an object, not a person.
Right. But that's like a whole category of porn. There's a very popular category of straight porn, and I'm sure gay porn, in which that's the very scenario. You got white couple with like a black stud who comes in and fucks the wife. And the wife's usually like, look at his big dick. It feels so good compared to your pathetic little dick. And, you know, for some reason, people get off
this. I mean, some people like being humiliated.
I kind of get the humiliation, but whatever. Again, it's not about the sexual acts. It's about the utter hypocrisy. And I just, you know, one of the things I asked on Twitter is how many of these religious leaders – like Jerry Falwell Jr., like Jimmy Swaggart, like Ted Haggard, how many of them have to fall before evangelical Christians realize that this is all bullshit? Their whole religion is a fucking pyramid scheme. No one. It's not
like
that
Scientology.
It's right. It's not that their leaders are corrupt. Their whole organization is corrupt. Their whole value system is corrupt. They live their lives in a state of utter hypocrisy. And no matter how many times this happens, and how many so-called Christian men are disgraced, they just keep going to church and throwing money at these groups and throwing money at Liberty University. It's like, it's really like being in a cult.
Yeah, and where the stupid followers, they just, I think they believe, oh, well, he just asked God for forgiveness and it's fine. And they don't really get, they don't care about you. They want money.
Well, speaking of problematic Christians, Lohanthony was in the news this week.
Oh my God.
Did you guys know who Lohanthony was before?
I did not. I don't think. Not that I know.
So for those of you who don't know, Lohanthony has been a very popular YouTube star since he was a child.
For being a basic gay bitch.
Well, his most famous video became a GIF that people use all the time. Take a listen.
Calling all the basic bitches. Calling all the basic bitches. There's a new announcement. You're basic.
He cuts it off himself too early, but he's like, you're basic. And that's, I mean, even my nephew knows that. Like, that's a really popular GIF. And Lohanthony, he called himself Lohanthony because his name was Anthony, and he was like a huge Lindsay Lohan fan. He started making these videos when he was like 12. And he grew up on YouTube and had millions of followers. And now he's 21 years old. And in his latest video, he has denounced his same-sex attraction in order to commit to Christian celibacy. He opens up about his struggles with drug and alcohol addiction and reveals that he was sexually abused by an older boy when he was a child. But then he says, it's no coincidence that through pursuing my same-sex attraction, I was also addicted to alcohol. I was also addicted to weed, hallucinogenics, and money. I was addicted to views and attention. He says his search for gay love would ultimately end with disappointment, a void which was later filled by Jesus Christ. Can I just say, if you're 21 years old, you're not allowed to give up on gay love.
No.
I'm 49, and I'm still hoping that someday I will find gay love. 21, bitch, like, you know, you got time.
I wanted him just to want to fuck someone that looks like the Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is, the average Jesus you see is pretty hot,
sexy.
With the long hair. It's very Brad Pitt, Legend of the Fall.
I'd nail him.
I'd fuck Jesus totally down. But this poor kid,
Well, and fans are very concerned. One wrote, this Lohanthony situation is horrifying. I hope he's okay. Watching the video is seriously making me feel sick. Someone else said, I'm so concerned for Lohanthony. It sounds like he's blaming himself for getting molested as a child, and he's blaming getting molested as to why he's gay. This is concerning as fuck. I don't care that he's Christian because I want him to live his life, but this is concerning. Another wrote, Lohanthony preaching conversion therapy and telling us homosexuality is wrong was not on my 2020 bingo card.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a great tweet.
I don't want to diminish his trauma. I don't, because we all go through trauma each and every way. But to blame that trauma on your actions, it's kind of a low bitch move. Because
basic bitch.
Yeah, we all have trauma. We all have to overcome it, and you're just using your trauma as a handicap now, as a wounded animal all the time. Bitch, grow the fuck up. I've been molested by older men, but look how I turned out. I am a great, self-confident average bitch. The fuck?
Congratulations.
Move on with your problem.
Well, first of all, I didn't know you'd been molested by older men. That's something we'll have to discuss.
Yeah, it's a very complicated
story. On a later show.
Very complicated.
I'm sorry that that happened.
I'm surprised you hadn't talked about that.
It's not really fair to blame him, though, JB, because I think what these Christian conversion therapy groups do is they try to convince you that being gay is not a natural state, and that if you are gay, it is due to some early trauma, whether it was being molested or being touched. Or if, let's say, you were never molested, they'll say, like, well, your mother was too doting and your father was too distant. They'll always try to come up with reasons for why you're gay rather than just being like, you're gay.
Yeah.
You're born this way.
You're born gay. You don't control your attraction. Like, you realize you're attracted to somebody. It's not something you choose to be. You don't look at someone and be like, I'm gonna be attracted to that.
I wish I could.
I know. Oh, my God.
I would have a boyfriend.
But, yeah. Oh, my God.
Because there's tons of guys I meet that are fantastic guys, just wonderful, but I'm not attracted to them. If I could, like, you know, switch that, man.
And just...
But I wouldn't be straight if I had the choice. I love being gay.
I love being gay now. If I was younger, I would be bisexual if I could just decide. Because
that's true.
I would be bi. Because I think women are great.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Doubles your chances.
If I could choose it, definitely.
But I do think gay people are the most creative, fun.
Yeah, we're a lot
hilarious,
of fun.
Stylish. I just think we're better than straight people.
Yeah, and I think when we jack off, it's better because what are we thinking about? A dick. And what's in our hand? A dick.
Well, I pray for Lil Anthony.
I do too.
And I hope that he falls in with a better crowd. It sounds like he's fallen in with the wrong people. He's still young. You know, 5 years from now, he could be singing a very different tune. But I also do think growing up as a YouTube celebrity is probably not the healthiest thing. It's like being
a Disney Channel star.
Yes,
back in the 90s.
Exactly. Or being a pop star at the age of 14. Like, look at all the shit Justin Bieber's gone through. He's like fucking out of his mind too. No child can handle that level of fame and adulation.
A lot.
So here's a story that I posted on the Adam Sank Show Facebook page, and it was very controversial. A new study finds that gay and bisexual men who use PrEP may take fewer illicit drugs and be less sexually compulsive.
I feel like we talked about this. Or was it take less drugs and they don't feel the need to go out drinking? It was something along the lines.
This is definitely the first time we talked about this specifically. Basically, they're saying that when people use PrEP, their anxiety levels around getting HIV are much lower. And as a result, they don't need to drug themselves up to feel safe having sex. They feel safe having sex. There were exceptions. A lower incidence of ecstasy and poppers were not associated with taking PrEP. So in other words, the guys who took X and poppers before they started on PrEP took just as many or more. But the reason this was controversial is because a lot of my listeners and Facebook friends were like, this is bullshit. This is crazy. PrEP makes you do everything. And I found it weird that people were so emotional about it and that they were arguing with science. Like, this is a scientific study. I didn't make it up.
They were getting defensive, it seems, because did they do a study for them to know this? They're just going on their own experiences. But this is an actual study, so I don't know why your people got so upset.
I don't know either. It's one study. Another study could come out that contradicts it.
True.
But here's what they found. Before taking PrEP, 20% of the men in the study had a depressive or anxiety disorder. 38% used drugs in a problematic way, 28% had problematic drinking, and 23% had some degree of sexual compulsivity. But all of those things went down significantly for people taking PrEP. The drop in drug use went from 38 to 31%, which is significant. But the fall in sexual compulsivity was even greater, 23% to 10%. The PrEP users generally became a lot less worried about acquiring HIV. So, listen, I say PrEP is the best thing to come along because it prevents the spread of HIV, period, regardless of whether or not it has these other effects. But it makes sense to me. I do think that sometimes gay men want to behave in risky behavior. And in order to make themselves feel okay about that, they get themselves all fucked up on alcohol and drugs first so that they don't have that self governor that says, don't do this. So if you're taking PrEP and you know that you're basically protecting yourself from getting HIV, maybe you don't need to fuck yourself up so much. Maybe you can just enjoy the sex.
Yeah, fuck yourself up a little bit.
Just a little, you know, take a
light fuck up.
Take a little bit of poppers. You don't need meth.
Smoke some weed.
You don't need heroin.
No, definitely no meth.
No meth, please.
Please.
Meanwhile, in Massachusetts, this is a story we talked about a couple weeks ago. These two Democrats were running against each other for the for a congressional primary in Amherst area, and one of them was this young, cute, gay mayor named Alex Morse. He found himself in the center of this controversy where students at UMass Amherst accused him of making them uncomfortable, cruising them on hookup apps, using his position as a lecturer at the university and as mayor to entice them. And some of his accusers were part of the UMass Amherst College Democrats. Then it was later revealed that one of those accusers was actually working with the campaign of his opponent, this sitting congressman whose last name is Neil. The fuck is his first name? Anyway, just this week, the college Democrats at Amherst apologized to Morse. They wrote a letter to him that said, "We want to tell you we're deeply sorry for the distress that the public reaction to the letter must have caused you. We should have realized that the language of the letter was careless and played into homophobic stereotypes that have been used to oppress gay men in politics. We understand that no apology of ours can make up for the homophobic attacks you have suffered as a result of our actions. Nonetheless, we wish to apologize." So that's great. But the election happened this past week, and Morse lost to Neil by 18 percentage points. Now, there's no proof that this Congressman Neil was involved in the smear campaign, but he probably was. Or at least he probably knew about it.
I mean, Trump's made acceptable to smear your opponents.
Yeah,
Trump did a lot of fucked up shit that many people are taking up the ranks and following.
But these are Democrats, and we expect more from them, you know?
Do we?
It's a bummer. I mean, listen, he probably would have lost anyway. This guy, Neil, is a powerful Democrat who's been in Congress for like 20 years. And challengers don't always win their races. So, and you know, 18 percentage points is pretty decisive. It's unlikely that the scandal is the thing that pushed the needle one way or the other. But I'm sad just because this guy, Alex Morse, is really cute.
And
and therefore, I wish he had won.
I wish he had won, too. And I hate that he was smeared. That's
all. Not good to be smeared.
No.
I mean, sometimes it can be fun. Meanwhile, Cher has raised $2 million for Joe Biden in an LGBTQ fundraiser.
Just love Cher.
I just want to say, Cher is fucking amazing. She helps people. Like, a piece of me was to tweet at Cher, like, Cher, help me, please.
She's the best. She headlined a virtual fundraiser for LGBTQ donors, in which she said, Hi, it's me, your poster girl since I was 9 years old. I walked into our living room and met two of the most adorable gay hairdressers ever. Other people at the event were Representative David Cicilline, who's the most senior openly gay member of Congress, lesbian Senator Tammy Baldwin, and Pete Buttigieg. And it was a very short Zoom call. I mean, I think it was like 20 minutes, and they raised $2 million.
She didn't have to leave her mansion?
Nope. She's Cher, bitch.
Okay.
Cher spoke of Biden's record on LGBTQ issues, such as gay marriage and the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, predicting that progress would continue if he were the candidate. If he were the candidate that was elected president, she said, as president, Joe will build on this progress, reversing destructive policies of the Trump administration. Oh. So, that's two episodes in a row, by the way, when I did a Cher impersonation.
I love your Cher impersonation. Very
Thank
good.
You. It's not as good as my Maya Angelou. Oh, by the way, I got great reaction to my reading the dirty book passage as Maya Angelou.
I thought it was pretty good.
All right, JB. It's time to hit some sexy music and to get our guest on the phone. We're going to get our guest on the phone a little earlier than usual because I have so many questions for him. But meanwhile, Tarek, you know that feeling when your dick is acting like a turtle?
Sadly.
But you want it to act like a stallion?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you can have that anytime you want. With BlueChew.com, BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Right now, we have a special deal for ass listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code ASS. That's ASS. Just pay $5 shipping, and the shipment's free. You can take Blue Chew anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. I have tried Blue Chew, and I can tell you they work fast, they are effective, and they are good. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew's the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. It's prescribed online by licensed physicians. You don't have to go to the doctor, Tarek.
Good.
You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy. It ships right to your door. in a discreet package. Blue Chew's made in the USA, and since it prepares and ships direct, it's cheaper than pharmacy prices. No awkwardness. You don't have to leave the house. Don't forget, we have a special deal. BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment free when you use special promo code ASK. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue, B-L-U-E, Chew, C-H-E-W.com. Promo code ASK. Try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. When you buy Blue Chew, you're not only helping your dick, you're helping the ass. Thank you, Blue Chew. How we doing, JB? We'll just keep listening to the funky music.
Yeah, I like it. Great live commercial, Adam. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm going to get it.
You're going to get Blue Chew?
I'm going to get it.
You should get it. All you listeners should get it. How we doing? JB, this is JB's making his first ever overseas call from the studio, and we're hoping that the Derek and Romaine switchboard allows such a thing.
Sounds complicated.
Tarek, have you tried any boner medications?
I did Viagra like 10 years ago. I met this really, really handsome Spanish guy out at the cock at 3 a.m. I had been doing a lot of blow, and I was like, I'll fuck you. And he was like, let's go. And then I was like, oh, I might not get it. And he gave it to me, and I put it in my mouth, and oh, my God, I was hard for hours.
That's the thing, is that the Viagra and Cialis, if you take like 100 milligrams, like, it's too much.
It was too much. It was a very, I don't remember he didn't tell me what dosage it was. I didn't care, but I.
Like, the next day I'll be walking down the street and suddenly my dick's hard. And I'm like, well, that's, you know.
It was, yeah.
Embarrassing.
Yeah.
Can I help JB at all? I'm going to try one more time. Are you dying 9? Are you dialing 9 first? I was afraid this might happen.
Well, technical difficulties. Any more questions? Why you want to interview me?
Yes. So is the cock a place you normally frequent?
I go through phases. When I first moved to New York, I was there all the time. I even told my mother about it, and she would call me and leave a message. She's like, where are you? Why aren't you on your phone? She's like, are you at the cock? Like, she thought it was so funny.
Do you remember when there was the cock and then down the street was the big fat cock?
No, I don't remember the big fat cock.
That was like the sister bar.
Really?
Yeah. Like in the late 90s.
Yeah, I moved here 2004.
We'd be like, should we go to the cock or the big fat cock?
I've never heard of the big fat cock. See, you just schooled me on something.
I'm sure it's something else now. I'm sure it has a different name.
Yeah.
But well, for listeners, the cock is like the filthiest bar in New York. It's just like a little dive bar, hole in the wall. And in the old days, that was it. But now there's a downstairs.
Yeah, it's bigger now. They've moved location. It used to be a block away from me when I lived in the East Village, and then it went to... further down, still in the East Village, but yeah, it's bigger now. Last summer I went about 4 times, and I hadn't been in like 4 years. So I take time off, and then I go.
I didn't know you were a piggy like that.
But I might make out with somebody, but I'm not in the bathroom getting my dick sucked. No, hell no.
What about the Eagle?
Oh yeah, I don't care for the Eagle.
See, I like the Eagle better than the cock.
It's a different vibe. I would go with my friends, but it was just not in the location that I'm normally frequenting in. And then, I don't know, I just... Well, you're classier, Adam. That's why you like the Eagle.
I'm not classy at all. I'm disgusting.
Classier.
But the main reason I like the Eagle is because it's on the west side, and I'm super lazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
For me to get to the East Village is a trek.
It's a trek. And me to get to the Eagle was a trek, so...
JB, what's the update here? Are you doing 901144 and then the rest of it? The fuck, man. All right, so I'll tell you my story about the East Village. I may have told this on the air already. If I did, I'm sorry, you guys. Okay, so this is what I was in my 20s. So this would have been the 90s. And I was fairly new to New York, but I knew enough not to like accept rides from strangers. I met this couple at either Boiler Room or The Bar or one of those East Village bars. And I went home with them, and we smoked hash.
Mm.
It's one of the only times I've ever smoked hash. And it was a lovely high, and we had a great three-way. And it was like 2 a.m, and they were like, okay, good night. And I go out to the street to hail a cab, and all of a sudden this SUV pulls up next to me. And in the front seat are two very beautiful young black women, like really beautifully made up, beautifully dressed in this brand new looking SUV. And they go, hey, where are you going? And they were just so sweet and friendly. And I was like, I'm going to Hell's Kitchen. And they were like, hop in, we'll give you a ride.
That is so sweet.
And I don't know why I got in the car. It just seemed like...
You trusted them.
They just seemed cool. And
Black Angels.
Well, and they were young and like, they just seemed like kids. And I felt like I was a kid and we're just like helping each other out. So I get in the car. They drive like half a block and the one in the passenger's seat of the front, you know, front seat turns around and puts her hand on my knee and she goes, I'll suck your cock for $100.
Oh.
And I go, oh. I go, and I remember this so clearly. I go, I don't date women. Like she wanted to date me.
Date.
And she goes, oh, you're gay. And I go, yeah. And she goes, okay, baby, we're going to pull over right here. You can get out. And I was like, thank you.
They weren't Black Angels. They were Black prostitutes.
But they were the best looking prostitutes. Like, I feel like they had jersey plates. And I feel like they were just like suburban women or suburban girls who just were like, let's make some extra money tonight. And like, they did not, nothing about them said hooker to me.
That
you know,
is so funny.
It was so weird. And as I got out, and I'm still high on hash the whole time, you know, and I'm walking in a daze going, what the fuck just happened? Like, why did I get in the car? Why are they, like,
was it
selling
blowjobs? Was it the next morning? Or was
it was 2 a.m.
It was 2 a.m. Okay. So it was still, all right.
Yeah.
I love threesomes. I'm going back to the original part of the story. But
I sometimes do. I prefer being the guest star.
Me too.
Yeah. And actually, I prefer when it's three people who just met that night and no one's and in a relationship.
Well, last year I had what my friend called a pop-up threesome.
Yes.
It was amazing because I went home with this one guy who was super cute. I don't know if he was Italian or I don't know what they were, but he was just really cute. It was like 3 a.m. I went home with him and in his hotel room, we were getting it on and then someone else comes into the room and I freaked out. I'm laying there naked. And he looks at him, and he said something in whatever language they're in, they were speaking, and the other guy just took his clothes off, and he joined us, and he was equally as hot.
But the first one didn't say, like, hey, this is my friend, is it okay if he joins us?
He didn't say, no, he didn't. He was, and it was funny, because he was younger than me, and he was short, and he wore glasses, but he was super hot, but he was very in charge. Like, he was that type of guy. And, yeah.
Poor JB is like really trying to get, and I feel bad for Finn because he's there in Sussex, England waiting for this call. I thought maybe we were being too ambitious by having an overseas guest, but you know.
You tried, we're trying, and you'll eventually get him on your show. I don't know.
I hope. Yeah. But yeah, three ways with couples, it's like there's always some kind of agenda happening. Mm-hmm. Like there's always one person in the couple wants it more than the other. Or one of them doesn't even want to be open, but they're just kind of going along with it to keep their relationship together. The other one's like a pig. And then you get that vibe as the guest star and you're like, uh-oh, I have to pay more attention to this one. And are they, am I pissing this one up? Like I get in my head and I shouldn't. I should just be like, it's their relationship. They can work it out later. I'm just here to have fun. But I'm such an empath that if, like, there's any weirdness, I pick it up.
Yeah. If I feel like I'm unwelcomed or if it's time, like, I don't want to feel, like, I don't want to feel awkward. And I don't want to feel, especially since they are a couple and they have a union already. Like, they are already committed.
Right.
I did have a great threesome with a couple from Seattle, and they were equally into me, and they were both super hot. It was great.
Sometimes they invite you into the relationship.
I wish they had. They did not.
I'm hearing more and more about that these days. There's a lot of throuples and polyamory going on. And I was just recently hanging out with a couple. They've been together like 4 years. And one of them was telling me that not only are they open sexually, but they're open romantically. So they can have relationships with other people. And I thought, wow, that is...
polyamorous.
I mean, first of all, I can't seem to be able to have a relationship with one person, let alone juggle multiple relationships.
It would
like,
be
who
a lot.
Has the time? But also, it felt to me like I'm not judgy. If that's your thing, go for it. Whatever works for you. But I would fear if I were in that relationship that one of us or both of us would find someone else to whom we were more romantically inclined, and then that would end our relationship.
That would be my fear.
And I brought that up, and my friend said, if that happens, it happens. Like,
yeah, and that's why it works for them, because there are people that are just, they're not tripping about it. See, that would make me nervous. I want to be number one, and I want them to be my number one. Like, I don't want...
Yeah, like, look, I've resigned myself to the fact that monogamy is almost impossible with gay men, and I'm okay being in a non-monogamous relationship, but me only too. Sexually.
Yeah, only
not,
sexually.
Not with romance, not with your heart, your devotion, your companionship. I don't want my boyfriend to be dating someone else.
Mm-mm, no.
Going out to dinner with someone else without me.
Fucking somebody else is one thing that just needs to be about sex, but...
Because companionship is the thing I'm most after.
Yeah.
Right? I want a best friend who I sometimes have sex with. Like, that to me would be the perfect relationship. If my best friend is always going off and doing stuff without me, then, like, why am I even in this relationship?
No. That's not... That wouldn't work for me at all.
And I've had that before. It's kind of hurtful.
Yeah, it sounds... Or that's...
I don't know.
Yeah.
It sounds so complicated.
Lady isn't enough. Oh, she heard me say
I didn't even realize she was lying down on the floor here. I thought she was on the sofa. Oh, dear. Should we call? What should we do? Should we call this? I have other stories I can do. I might as well do them. We're sitting here killing time here. All right. Where did I leave off? We talked about Cher.
Yes.
All right. So, Tarek, are you watching Canada's Drag Race?
I'm not. And I love RuPaul's Drag Race, but I could not get into the Canada one. Unfortunately.
I also think it's garbage. My usual co-host, Ryan Frostig, loves it. He said the Match Game episode was one of the best ever. Lies. But, you know, one of the hosts slash judges on the show is this Jeffrey Boyer Chapman. And apparently the fandom has really got it out for him. Like, they do not like him. They think he's like a RuPaul wannabe.
I read about that. And that he's so cute.
He's really hot. And I don't think he's like the greatest person in the world to do this job, but he's also, that's not his job. He's an actor.
Yeah.
But apparently they thought he was being mean to the contestants. And so he has deleted his entire social media.
It's happening often. We're over it.
And I kind of support anyone who deletes their social media, even though I'm addicted to it. It is toxic.
I'm addicted too. I don't think I could delete mine. But I'm not famous like that, so.
Apparently, Boyer Chapman could use, according to this article, how are we doing, JB? Okay. Could use a lesson in his delivery in a particularly nasty made-for-television moment when the contestant Jimbo explained that she couldn't paint her whole body because of time. Boyer Chapman pointed out that all the competitors have the same amount of time and that she should use it better, maybe.
Yeah, what's wrong
and
with that?
Apparently people freaked out at that. RuPaul herself completely deactivated Twitter. So I just think people are over it. Like, you get tired of being attacked every single day. And the RuPaul's Drag Race fan base is apparently the nastiest fan base in history.
And they're very hard on RuPaul, I feel like.
On everyone. They love the people they love, but they hate the people they hate.
They really...
And there's tremendous vicious. Racism, apparently,
a lot of
against
racism.
The queens of color.
It's... I don't know.
It's just supposed to be like a fun drag show. Like, lighten the fuck up, everyone.
And they overreact. It's a show. I understand going off on somebody if they really did something horrible. But the guy, I forget his name, the Canada one and RuPaul, the reasons why they get so upset is just, it's not anything substantial. It's
right.
Just,
like, what if you use all this energy to help defeat Donald Trump in November rather than to, like, attack Jeffrey Boyer Chapman for his judging abilities? In happier news, Tarek, Marsha P. Johnson Park has now been dedicated. On August 24th, Governor Cuomo of New York dedicated Marsha P. Johnson State Park on what would have been the late trans activist's 75th birthday. Not only does this become the first state park in New York to ever honor an LGBTQ person, but it's the first state park in the United States.
It's amazing. I teared up when I heard about this story. Did you think about how she would have felt to know that this is of her legacy, that this had happened?
It's the wrong fucking number? That's what Holy shit. I'm sorry, Tarek. You keep talking about Marsha. I'm going to look up the number you sent me.
It's so deserving. I love that they're doing this. And I'm glad there's some happy news this year. Because Marsha P. Johnson, she probably wouldn't believe it. She'd be like, what? A state park after me? That's just, it's so sweet. It's such a sweet.
And when you think about the fact that, you know, Marsha was homeless at times. She had a very rough life. She was almost certainly murdered and thrown into the river. I mean, it's like none of this makes up for that. But it the fact that person is now honored and celebrated and that this park will exist forever.
Yep. It's a beautiful thing. In Trump's America, it's a beautiful thing that has happened.
I am now searching my emails to look for the number Finn sent me. This is such a fucking disaster, guys. I had such high hopes about this show.
For the convenience.
Well, it's not your fault necessarily.
I have done everything in my power. I tried 9 without the 9, without the 0, with the 0, without the 1. The lady told me many different combinations. I tried it on my cell phone, and then the lady told me, you have the wrong number. This number does not exist. Oh.
I mean, it is possible that he gave me the wrong number, but I don't think so.
Mistakes happen.
He just emailed me. We are trying to reach you, but have been told it is the wrong number, period.
Tell him if he can call us.
Can you call us, question mark? 844-825-5367. What a disaster. There's only 10 minutes left anyway. Here's what I'll do, guys. I will interview him on my own time, which I should have done. I should have just done a pre-tape. And then we'll just insert it into a later episode because I really do think he's going to be a fabulous guest, and I had so many questions for him.
I also have questions for him, too. I know it's wrong to ask people about the bomb surgery, but I'm curious. I feel like if you're curious...
Well, it's only wrong if they don't want you to. He's happy to have us ask about it.
Which is great.
Yeah, I'm always curious to know why and how.
By the way, Gail wrote in and said, who do I have to screw for that Staten Island movie? and then she included her DNR Studios invoice. Gail, you are our first winner. Congratulations.
Yay! Where's my applause?
The King of Staten Island Blu-ray.
Gail is on the ball. I knew Gail's going to be the first winner.
I know. She's the best. All right. Well, we have 9 minutes left.
I'm so sorry.
Fucking painful. Yikes. Okay, here we go. Is this the number you're dialing?
All right, I didn't try it without the fours.
I think you need
the
fours.
Without the ones, I mean.
Okay. I mean, the fours are the country code. The one is to get us out of the United
this
States.
This is complicated.
I know. You've called people overseas, right?
Not that I remember. I think when I was when I was in Mexico, I called here.
Yeah, to call out of the U.S., you have to dial 011.
Yeah.
And then you dial the country code, which England is 44. And then there's this long-ass number that has more numbers than our numbers do.
No, it's still not going out.
Okay, now try 901144 and the rest of that number. This is ridiculo. This will be like, hi, Finn, nice to meet you. Oh, we have to go. Goodbye. Oh, I feel like anyone listening has tuned out by now. Let's be honest. Because this is worse than...
I'm going to put this on air, and you don't listen to what the lady tells me.
Let's hear it.
Oh, never mind. It just hung up. That's also the other thing I got there. Either it just hangs up, or some lady tells me don't add
Who is this lady? Should we interview her?
Let's interview the British. Is she British?
No, it's the regular. You know the phone to the ladies who tells you, "Oh, you have the wrong number."
Oh.
That voice lady.
Not.
I want to hear her accent. Does she have an accent?
You would think, but she doesn't. It makes me a little sad.
That's disappointing.
All right. Well, let's do something else. In the time remaining, let me do one of the stories from next week. Okay, JB, do you have the? Are you still trying this?
I'm still trying this.
Okay. All right, so here was the story that was...
It is not necessary to dial 0 after the country code when dialing this country. Please hang up.
Are you
and
dialing
call
0?
Again.
I dialed 0. That's when you just told me to dial 0.
Not after the country code, before.
Before the country code?
9-0-1-1.
9-0-1-1.
4-4. And then dial the number. Starting with... Oh, I see. I see what's happening. Okay, so don't dial 077 after the 44, just dial 77.
Oh, no 077.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 901144 77. This is the one that's going to get me a podcast award. And then
four,
the rest of it.
4759.
Don't read it out loud. JB, don't read his number out loud. Oh, my God. JP, there's 6 minutes left. At a certain point, we have to call it a day. All right, so I was going to do a story about the woman who was found alive inside a coffin at a Detroit funeral home.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. I read that.
Let's. This is our last gasp at trying to get...
The number of calls is not recognized.
All right, we give up. Okay, so a Michigan woman who was declared dead by paramedics on Sunday was discovered alive hours later by a funeral home worker who was preparing to embalm her body. A lawyer from the family said the woman, Tamisha Beauchamp, people responded to a call of her being unresponsive at a home in Southfield, Michigan. This happened a couple weeks ago. And so when the paramedics arrived, they found the 20-year-old woman not breathing. They performed CPR and other life-saving methods for 30 minutes. Given medical readings and the condition of the patient, it was determined at that time that she had no signs of life. Later, on Sunday morning, after spending more than 2 hours in a body bag, Ms. Beauchamp arrived at the James H. Cole Home for Funerals. What a terrible name. Where an employee discovered that she was alive and breathing with her eyes open.
Oh, my God.
She's all, hello?
Don't embalm me.
Her family said this has been devastating for them, obviously. Apparently, it's a sad story because she has cerebral palsy and has needed, like, constant medical care her entire life. But there's really no explanation as to how she was showing no signs of life to the point that they put her in a coffin.
I know, but it's a sad story, but it's great she's alive, though.
It's great that she's alive.
There's medicines and other things that you can do to slow your heart rate to seem like it's death. Maybe that's what happened in this case. Her heart rate was so slow they couldn't pick it up. That's why they claimed she was dead.
But they usually look for brain activity. Apparently, it's not unheard of for people to be declared dead only to be found alive hours later.
Well,
in 2018, a South African woman was pronounced dead at the scene of a car wreck, but hours later was found breathing in a mortuary. And in 2014, a Mississippi man who had been pronounced dead was found alive inside a body bag at a funeral home. This is like my biggest nightmare.
See, it's actually a childhood dream of mine because I watched a lot of soap operas growing up, and I really wanted to
be buried alive?
Like, not buried alive, no, but like everyone to think that I was dead, and then me come back at my funeral and be like, I'm alive and feel more appreciated.
I'm alive.
So awful to do to your family. I don't want to do that now, but as a teenager, I did.
We did a story a while back about a funeral, I think it was in Malaysia, where the coffin had a little window, like where the face would be, which, by the way, don't do.
Mm-mm.
And as they were lowering it into the ground and all the mourners were standing around, they saw a hand wave through the window. And everybody started freaking out and thought the body had come back to life. But really, it was rigor mortis.
Oh, my God.
Don't put a window. First of all, I want to be cremated. And if it turns out really dead, that's fine.
Yeah.
If I'm so fucked up that you think I'm dead, you have my permission to cremate me. Especially if I'm old.
Yeah.
I don't want to wake up burning.
I don't want to wake up burning or being embalmed.
I'd rather wake up burning than embalmed.
I just don't want it to happen. But if it does, I want it to be known before it gets to those steps, please.
Well, guys, we've come to the end of our show. This will go down in history books as one of the worst ones because it wasn't that, sometimes when the guest doesn't show up, we just move on.
Yeah.
But in this case, like, we kept trying for basically a half hour and never succeeded. So listening to this was probably as excruciating as it was making it. But we thank you for listening. Tarek, a joy as always. You'll be back with us next Saturday.
I will. Thanks for having me.
Tune in to hear another brand new ask with a guest who is based in New York, so hopefully it'll be easier to reach him. It's Joey Scladani.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Really?
Do you know Joey?
Yes. Oh, my God. I knew Joey through Rob and Taylor's show. He comes on Taylor's show as their food guy.
Yeah.
And he was on Rob's show.
He has written a new cookbook called Basic Bitchin', and we'll be talking to him about that. Subscribe to this podcast at dnrstudios.com. Don't forget to order your ass merchandise at adamsank.com. You can hit that music anytime, JP. Yep. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at adamsank. Email me at adam@adamsank.com. Tarek, how do people follow you?
Oh, yeah. On Twitter, I'm Tarik Daniels. It's my name. Just on Facebook, Tarik Daniels. Instagram, Tarik78.
Have a great week, bitches. Bye.